Welcome to this chapter on technology and data security. Now let us look at certain aspects of technology and how it has impacted outsourcing, what the latest models are in terms of technology and infrastructure availability. In this chapter, we will run through an overview of technology on cloud computing. We will touch upon data security and types of security, and also some factors on how the data security can be handled at the customer end as well as the service provider's end. So let us have a quick overview on the technology aspect. So technology, everybody, I would say at least the end user who's transparent to it, he feels it should be available 24/7 without any interruptions, right? It is a dynamic utility and continuously evolving, right? And it has, I would say, great contribution to the operations and business growth, right? It is a huge enabler for company-wide changes, and for sure, it is a business enhancer if done planned in the right manner, right? This has also helped increase the outsourcing business, right? Earlier, as I mentioned, prior to the internet era, it was difficult to process at a faster speed. The connectivities were a challenge, but with changes in technology, and as you will see, the cloud setup, there is a lot of flexibility available now with the outsourcing service providers. So what technology does is it has its impact on all areas, but primarily the communication has been the highest impact or the key area of impact, right? Earlier you would have had interactions over an email where a mail would go, a person would check, respond, then you would await that response. But today, communication has made possible live chat sessions and video calls. You have Microsoft Teams and Zoom meetings, which have enabled, I would say, instant interaction, right? Video calling is instant, right? You can immediately set up a Zoom meeting and have a call and clarify, right? So technology has I would say become a big boon on this front. With this aspect, it has helped curtail the travel and cost angles as well. So there is no need to have a physical presence, spend on that travel, I would say, expense. You have seen the current corona pandemic situation, right? Travel was barred, right? But the businesses were able to function because they were able to communicate with each other, converse and take forward the business relationship. You have areas like cloud computing, big data analytics, social media platforms, AI, RPA that have come up on the technology front. And technology is proving to be a competitive advantage to the business. So let us touch upon cloud computing. This is more of an IT topic, but it is important to understand because these concepts are used widely now in all offices. So it will be good to have a view on what this is, and outsourcing service providers are largely using these setups, as I mentioned earlier. Especially the startups and small SMEs, right? So cloud computing, just to give you a high level overview, so this portion that you see in the shape of a cloud, so it is basically a infrastructure setup only, but it is dedicated to a particular service provider. And he has all aspects of compute, storage. So you see there are three different levels, and this is how the overall terminology goes. The first one is infrastructure. So you have the compute storage network under infrastructure. Then you have a platform on top of the infrastructure where you have the identity systems, database, and then you have application on top of the platform, right, where you have the different types of applications, the collaboration, communication. So the cloud setup basically is what the service provider will set this entire stuff up at his data center and make this available to you see people across the globe. This is accessible over internet, so you can connect with a phone, tablet, desktop, laptop, connect your servers. So this entire structure is available at ease. It's like I am a user or a consumer and I need three servers. I can easily latch on, take the service and connect it. I don't need to get into a procurement cycle of evaluating a server, buying it, making it live, right? So this makes it very, I would say the turnaround time gets reduced drastically, right? Similarly, for an application, if I need an application which is cloud-based, SaaS as we'll see known as, I just need to type a URL of that and access it, right? So the application provider will have a setup on the cloud. He can set it up in no time and thus make it easily available. So this is an overview of how technically the cloud is set up, right? So what constitutes in the cloud, as I mentioned earlier, you have layered blocks bifurcated under infrastructure, platform and application. And these are available, all combination of this is available as a service to the end consumer, right? This is, as I mentioned, it is a subscription-based service. What happens is, I take subscription from that particular service provider, right? And on demand, I can connect to a shared pool of resources, which I can configure. And this is easily accessible over the internet, right? And as I mentioned earlier, there is minimal time involved in rapidly provisioning or releasing a service, right? It's as good as logging to the portal, going to the account, you requesting for an additional service, and it is enabled in a short while. Again, you want to release or your work is done, you want to release those resources, you can go into your portal, your account, same portal, log into your account, release those resources. So your billing stops, right? So this has high level of flexibility, control and management, right, on this setup. It minimizes the need of internal IT system, right? You don't need to set up an entire IT space at your end. So as I mentioned earlier, the service providers had a need to maintain their own data centers where they would have their cooling systems, UPS, racks in which the servers would be there, and there they would use that setup. But here, there's no need to manage something internal. I get a ready piece of that particular with a subscription. And I don't, as I mentioned, don't need to get into a cycle of procurement. I can add capabilities on demand, right? There is no need for investing capital expenditure in hardware or software, right? Everything is budgeted as part of the service that I want, right? I can ask for such particular type of hardware with a particular OS, right? I can ask for a Dell server with a Windows OS. So those combinations are available and they are available in a very short time frame, right? The turnaround time is very, very short. And this setup, it supports, I would say, immediate enhancements required to the business. This is a great, I would say, value add where in times of business demands like peak festival periods, you have the need for more compute, right? You can easily ask for that, as we'll see in the aspects of cloud. So this overall setup is a huge, I would say, business enabler for us. So what are the benefits of cloud computing infrastructure? So let us touch upon some of these, and these are key benefits that are made available. So we have covered 7, while there are more than these available for subscribers. We have just touched upon some core ones in terms of benefit of being cost effective, scalable, being global, elastic, reliable, updated and secure, right? So let us look at the first one, which is cost effective. And why do we say it is cost effective? It is cost effective because it is a pay as you use or consumption based model. I need 500 GB of space, I will pay for 500 GB of space, right? So it is paying for what I am using. I don't need to buy 1 TB hard disk and use 500. I want 500, I get 500, right? There is no upfront cost for the infrastructure. I don't need to buy a particular hardware, right? I just need to take that particular service from the service provider. I don't need to get into a cycle of purchase, right? It takes up time, it involves effort in terms of negotiations, arriving at the right product, and all this comes at a cost, right? It's not advisable to do it, especially if I am not going to use it to full capacity. Say if I need 500 GB, right? And the minimum capacity available is 1 TB. So what is happening is I am paying for double, not using that half, right? And it is not serving any business benefit to me, right? So here I am paying by the consumption that I have, exactly that I need, right? And then I also have the ability to pay for additional resource when required. I can upgrade the capacity based on my need. So what happens is if I am at a baseline of 500, I can upgrade it to 1 TB, right? I also have the ability to stop paying for it when I don't require. I say that requirement was for a short term of a short period of time. The time has elapsed, I don't need it. I can bring down my capacity to again 500, right? So there, these providers generally have a service catalog, and then they have these services available at a price, right? Now, because I have this catalog available, I can also make better predictions, right? If I know I'm going to run this for 3 months, I know what kind of cost can come up, right? And then if I have a view on the business growth, I can have some analysis also on the cost spend that can happen typically here. May not be exact to the last rupee, but it gives a very fair indication of what kind of expenses will happen. So that's all on the cost effective front. So the next one is scale. Scalability is another key benefit of cloud computing infrastructure. You can scale up or scale down based on your need at any point in time, right? So it has the capability to fulfill your static need, right, as well as your dynamic needs, right? So what happens under scalability? I can scale vertically as well as horizontally. So these are concepts to the cloud. If I want to scale vertically, right, I can add resources to the power of an existing server, right? For example, adding more CPUs or memory to a server that I have already subscribed for. I can also do a horizontal scaling where I can add more servers to the entire unit. For example, if I have taken 2 servers and I want 4 more, I can do that, right? So cloud gives the benefit of being scalable, right? It helps scalability on vertical as well as the horizontal front. Third important benefit is of it being global, right? Now these service providers have fully redundant data centers across the globe, right? So what happens is I can then host my service closest to my customer. So if say I'm serving customers which are in the Europe geography, I can choose the hosting location which is there in Europe, right? So that gives the fastest turnaround time to the customer. So being global helps this particular aspect, and also this service can be replicated to multiple regions in terms of redundancy and locality. So I have a benefit of being global while operating from my base place, and also getting it replicated if needed to my region, right? So cloud gives that benefit also. Coming to the next benefit, this talks of elasticity, right? So as the name implies, and the simple example of elasticity of a rubber band, right? You stretch it, it allows you to stretch, right? It comes back to its normal position when you no more need that particular space, right? So what is happening is here it is fulfilling your dynamic need. So if you saw earlier in this particular slide, when you talked of scalability, scalability is addressing more of the static need, just to avoid or remove any confusion that may be there. Elasticity helps you fulfill your dynamic needs, right? You need to expand to a certain level, yes, possible, go back, right? So it expands the infra based on the requirement, and you can come back to your minimal sizing. And this is largely used during peak periods of festivals like the Black Friday sales in the Western geography, or the Diwali period in India. You would have been seeing those sales by Amazon, Flipkart during these festivals. So they have a huge peak load hitting their setups, right? And which is where they use this feature of elasticity to overcome that situation without any impact to the business or response. The next benefit on cloud is reliability, right? So there is adequate redundancy built in the cloud architecture by the service providers, and they have fault tolerant setups, right? So what happens is they have setups which are in high availability and fault tolerant modes. They have backups happening between regions. They have minimal or zero downtimes, right? So a service, if it's on a hardware, right, which needs downtime, they can run that service on the other replicated hardware without any interruption to the end user. So the setup is largely reliable. The connection is secure, right? And the service providers offer multiple facilities in terms of disaster recovery, data backup, and data replication. So as I mentioned earlier, this is spread globally across multiple countries, and then in the countries they have specific regions where they have set these data centers, and the service, and these are all interconnected, so services are offered seamlessly, right? The next benefit is it's an updated setup. So what do you mean by updated? This setup is, I would say, refreshed to the latest versions of software, hardware, or security patches updation, right? So the service providers, you have the big three players, which are AWS, Amazon Cloud, and then you have Microsoft Azure, followed by Google Cloud. So these are the three leading service providers, and they will keep on continuously updating the hardware, software, and security patches, so that there is no, I would say, a loophole in terms of trying to take advantage of any, I would say, latest security issues or impacts, because this entire setup is available on the internet. And all this is transparent to customers. The customer doesn't even know that a software upgrade or a hardware refresh is being carried out. For him, it's the service, and it is transparently available to him, right? And the last benefit that we will discuss here is in terms of security. So the cloud setup is secure, secure from both the physical aspect as well as the digital aspect. So if you've seen these data centers, they are at a physically secure location. You won't find them easily, I would say, noticeable or advertised in the places where they are kept, right? They have strong gates, walls, surveillance systems in terms of cameras and other systems which are there. And the physical security of that entire data center is maintained through security professionals, right? And on the digital security, the setup takes care of having systems which are having strong access control mechanisms. They have identity access management tools. They do monitoring. There are firewalls, IDS, IPS, which is basically the intrusion detection system and the intrusion prevention system. So the setup is largely secure as well. So these were the benefits of cloud. Let us look at the types of service model in cloud. Now, this is again more from the view of trying to make the terminologies clear to you and not in terms of running into some technical sessions. So it is important to know what these terminologies are, because these are common to the cloud setups. So this slide, as you can see, and I have picked this up from Azure itself, which is the Microsoft service provider. So just to give you what view on how this kind of services are spread. So you have three different types: infrastructure as a service, which is known as IaaS. You have platform as a service, which is known as PaaS. And then software as a service, which is known as SaaS. And how these are differentiated. So this left portion is a simple explanation of how the setup would be in your organization. You would take care of the networking, storage, servers, virtualization, operating system, middleware, runtime, data, and application. So this is how your setup would be in your organization. If you go to the cloud and take a IaaS service, which is infrastructure as a service, what happens is you have a portion which gets managed by the cloud service provider, and then you manage the other stuff. So what happens? Networking, storage, servers, virtualization gets taken care of by the service provider. And then you top it up with the operating system you require, run the middleware, runtime, data, and application. If you are subscribing to a IaaS service, infrastructure as a service, so he's giving you this brace infra. Right? You don't need to bother about the hardware or the application here. If you go to the next level of taking platform as a service, you are topping this with the OS, middleware, and runtime being managed by the service provider. So platform of a service, then you have to take care only of your data and the application. So this is the next level of enhanced service that you have. If you go for a software as a service, the service provider takes care of the entire stack, right from network to storage application. You only have to use the application. So this is how the three different types are there: IaaS, PaaS, and SaaS. And this block basically helps you understand which portion gets managed by the service provider in each type. So as we mentioned here, software as a service, entire stack is managed by the service provider. You get the software application which is hosted by the supplier, and the customer can simply use that application over internet. So your email is a classic example of SaaS. You just use the email, it is management right up to the hardware by the provider. The second one, platform as a service. So as we mentioned here, you have a platform available which allows you to play with the application. You can develop, test, and manage the web application. Right? Here, you just had to use the application. Here, you can get into certain areas of development as well, right? And the third one, as we discussed, infrastructure as a service. It provides you with that virtualized resource environment, and then you can use this on a pay as you use basis over the internet. So these were the three types of service models in the cloud. Again, as I said, it is important for you to know technologically that cloud computing infrastructure is largely used nowadays, And then you have these three types of offerings: IaaS, PaaS, and SaaS. Right? Let's look at a certain portion of data security. Right? Now, data security revolves around the intersection of three key principles of CIA. Right? It revolves around the principle of confidentiality, availability, and integrity. Right? So, what are these three areas? These three areas in combination provide a strong linkage to the data security, and any one of them wrongly configured can result in a possible breach of information, right? Any unauthorized access, leakage, or wrongful deletion can lead to such issues. So what are these three aspects? So what does confidentiality mean, right? It means that the data objects and resources are protected, right, from unauthorized viewing and other access, right? The data is available in confidence. Nobody else can access it or even view it. So confidentiality is controlled there. Next one on integrity. What does integrity mean? It means there will be no unauthorized changes, right? And it is reliable and integral to what it was and correct. Nobody will be in a position to do an unauthorized change to that particular data. So confidentiality, integrity, and the third one is availability. Availability again links at getting authorized access to the system, right? And only to the resources that are needed. So these three in conjunction help control the data security, right? Prevention of sensitive data, as I mentioned earlier also, personally identifiable information, right? This is critical nowadays, and as I mentioned earlier, for the European regions, GDPR is a strong compliance requirement, right? So this also helps coverage of data security. It would essentially be ideal to cover the data security in the contract in terms of having a proper clause for security, how the data breaches will be handled, and what kind of penalty should be levied on the service provider or vendor for a contractual failure there, right? So these are key, I would say, aspects of data privacy. Thank you.